Bezras Hashem Yizbarech, today's daf is Memches in Maseches Shabbos, the beginning of Perek Bametamnin. We concluded yesterday's shiur with concluding Perek Kira. We begin 10 lines from the bottom with the halachos of Hatmana. There is an Isser Midrabanan of insulating food on Shabbos. There are two basic rules that apply to Hatmana. Before the Shabbos, a person may insulate with substances that maintain heat, but not with substances that add heat to the food. On Shabbos itself, one is not allowed to insulate with any type of substance. Let's begin our Mishnah. B'meh tamnin u'v'meh ein tamnin. What are you allowed to insulate with before Shabbos, which are not considered dvarim hamosif hevel to add heat, and what can't you? Ein tomnim, you're not allowed to insulate loy begefes. Geves, Rashi explains, are the leftovers of oil, and they're peels that were left over in an oil press. Rashi says that there is a lot of tension inside of them, and they're very warm. V'loy bezevel, not with excrement, that's also warm. V'loy bemelech, not with salt. V'lo besid, not with lime. V'lo bechol, not with dirt. Bein lachem, bein yivashim, whether dry or moist. V'lo beteven, not with straw. V'lo bezagin, and not with the leftovers of grapes, like its peels. V'lo bemuchin, and not something that's soft, like cotton or soft wool. V'lo basav, not with grass, bizman shein lachin. Avotomnin behen kishen yivashim. When the grass is dry, then it's not considered hatmana bedavar hamosif hevel. Ibailu asks the Gemara, I have the following question. Geves shel zesim tnan. We learned in our Mishnah the leftovers of the oil pressings. Aval deshum shemin shapir dami, but if it's sesame, then that would be acceptable. O dilma deshum shemin tnan, or we will say that we're talking about sesame, v'kol shekein de zesim, and certainly of oil. In other words, when we talk about gefes, it's not clear which type of gefes we're talking about. Are we talking of sesame seed, or are we talking about only of oil, but sesame seed would be acceptable? Tashma d'amar Rabbi Zeira mishum chad devei Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Zeira taught in the name of one from the yeshiva of Yanai. Kupa shetamun ba, if one has a box that has been insulating food before Shabbos, with materials that were permissible, we called a dover shein mosif hevel. So then, kuva shetom ba asla nicha al gefes shel zesim. You're not allowed to put on top of it the gefes of oils. Shma mina shel zesim tnan. We see from here that the prohibition is specifically of olive oil. However, sesame seed oil might not be considered hatmana ba dover mosif hevel. The Gemara says no. It could very well be that when it comes to hatmana, even of sesame seeds, it would be yasser. However, in this particular case, only the oil is going to be yasser. When it comes to a case, Rashi explains, on the top of the yomud, on Memches Amid Aleph, when you already have it insulated, and you put on top of the box this gefes, so then in such a case, the gefes of oil will add heat. However, the shumshimin lo maske havla. It doesn't have enough heat for it to affect if it's on the top of the box. The Gemara described three lines from the bottom of Zayin Amid Beis that we have the box, and then one wants to add the gefes shel zesim underneath. If one adds the gefes shel zesim underneath, the question is whether this gefes shel zesim will add heat that's going up, that will go all the way through the food, even to the top of the box. So says our Gemara, Amim Chesam and Aleph, Hasuke Havla, that the heat should rise up, so that Lasok means to rise up, that will only come from oil. However, Shum Shemin will not do that. The Gemara continues with the story. Rabba Rabbi Zera Iklu Levei Reish Galusa. They went to visit the Reish Galusa. Chazi Elahu Avda. They saw a slave. The Anach that he placed. He placed a cup of water on the top of a hot urn. Nizei Rabba. Rabba gave him Musar.
He told the Eved that he had done the wrong thing. Amalei Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera said to him, Ma'ishna mimeichem al gabei meichem. How's it different than putting one hot jug of water on top of another? Says later on at the end of the perek on Daf Nun Aleph on Mebeis Masor Sashas helps us that it's permissible. Amalei, he said, no, there's a big difference. Hasam over there, when you're putting one kettle on top of the other, uk mi kamokim. He wants to maintain, preserve the heat from one kettle to the other. In other words, both are hot, he wants to simply preserve the heat. Hacha elude kamolit. Here, he wants to generate a new heat in the cup. Presumably, in this first case, he's more likely to come to scald, to stoke the coals, if both of them are hot. If one is going to insulate cold food, so then in such a case, we're afraid gzera shemayat min beremetz, he's going to use ash to insulate. That will cause him to stoke the coals, as the Gemara in Lamed Daled Amud Aleph and Lamed Daled Amud Beis explains. The Gemara continues to record what Rabban Reb Zeira saw at the house of the Reish Kalusa that the Eved did on Shabbos. Gemara says, "Hod Chazia de Raf de Paras de Studer Apume de Kova," that he wrapped around a kerchief on top of a barrel. Va'onach Natla Ilave, and he put a Natla. Natla is the utensil that was used to draw wine from the kuva. Mizai Rabba also scolded him, gave him Musar as well. Amarle Reb Zera said, what did he do that was wrong? There's no shayla v'atmani here. What did he do that was wrong? Amarle Hashtachazis, come, wait a moment and you'll see. L'soif chazid dekom atzerle. It turns out, Rashi explains, that he squeezed out from the rag and he ended up being over in Schita on Shabbos. Rav Zera asked him, Amalei, Maishnam bipurunaka? What's the difference between this and a garment that was often put on top of a barrel on Shabbos? Amalei Hasam, when it goes to that garment, that's normal to put up there. So Hasam lo kipet kapit alave. He's not makbit if it becomes absorbed with water. Hacha kapit alave. But in this, he's makbit if it absorbed with water. And hence I knew that if he was going to put the sudar on top, he was going to end up squeezing it out. Mark continues after two dots. Boiminir of Adar Bar Masna Ma'abaye. Rav Adar Bar Masna asked Abaye the following question. Muchin, we discussed the muchin are soft materials that are used to insulate on Shabbos, like wool and cotton. If it was used to insulate, Ma'al Lutatal on Shabbos, is it muktzah or can you be metalt with it of Shabbos? Amalei. So Abaye responded to Rav Adar Bar Av Masna, v'chimipnei she'en lo kupa shel tevin, oimid u'mafgir, kupa shel muchan. If a person didn't have straw to insulate with, so then he's going to be willing to be mafgir his box of muchin, which is used to insulate. The crux of Rav Ada Bar Masna's question, Rashi explains, is that normally the only thing that these things are used is to turn into making into sheets, into clothing. However, they have no other purpose aside from that. Yet, it's also used for hatmana. Do we say that because it's used for hatmana, it has the status of a kli? That was Rav Ada Bar Masna's question. Or no, that doesn't have the status of a kli. To which the Gemara says, we have the response of Abaye, that since it is expensive and it's not used for anything else, so then it doesn't become batel to the hatmana, and it's designated specifically for hatmana and no other purpose. The Gemara attempts an approof to this. Lema misayeyele, tomnim begizei tzemer, you're allowed to insulate with wool, ubetzipe tzemer, and the wool that's used for mats, ubelshonos shel argamon, and tongues of purple wool, ubemuchin, and with the soft wool and cotton as well. Ve'ein metalta noisan, and you're not allowed to be metalta. Says the Gemara, that's not such a strong proof. Imishum ha lo irya. That's not a strong proof that it's always going to be asar in tiltal when you do use it for hatmana. Because hachi kamer, you could read this halacha in the following way. Imlo taman behen ein metalta nosan. If it wasn't used for hatmana, then it doesn't have any purpose, then you can't be metalta with it. The Gemara says, Yihachi mai the memra. If that would be so, then why do we even need to teach it? It has no purpose whatsoever. Kosa tzmuksa. And says the Gemara, Ma'u the same. I would have thought Chazal Mizga Aleihu, that it's usable. I would have thought that you could lean on it. And since you could lean on it, maybe you'd be allowed to metaltel. Kamash malan, the chiddush is that one cannot. Gemara continues after two dats of Chizda. Sharil adure udra leves sadya bishabasa. Allowed Mukhan that had fallen to be returned to its place and did or not consider it mukta. To challenge this psak, Rav Chanan quoted a couple of famous halachas. Eisver Rav Chanan Bar Chizda, Rav Chizda. Rav Chanan Bar Chizda asked Rav Chizda, Matirin beis hatzamer b'shabbos, you're allowed to open up a knot that was made by a launderer at the neck hole of a shirt on Shabbos, avalo poisin, but you're not allowed to open it up for the first time. The ein noisin as hamucha. Now the next part, this halacha is what's relevant to Rav Chizda's teaching. The ein noisin as hamucha lo l'toch hakar v'lo l'toch hakesis biyomta vein sarachlam b'Shabbos, that you're not allowed to move this insulative material neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. So what do we see? It is Muksa. Answers the Gemara Loi Kasha. It's not a question. Habichadati Habatiki. It depends if we're talking about new ones or old ones. It depends how this pillow has been made. If we're talking about a brand new pillow, so then in such a case you're not allowed to put this insulative material back inside. Why? Because then it's muksa. However, it's batiki, if it's already been designated to use in the pillow, so then in such a case it would be permissible. Tanya Namihachi, we learn like this in the Braisa, ain noisness amuchan. Lolotecha karv, lolotecha keses. It's not allowed to be put in a pillow or in a quilt. Biyomtif, fein tzarech lomar b'Shabbos. Nashru, but if it was fell out, if it was removed, machzir nois b'Shabbos, fein tzarech lomar biyomtif. It can be returned. Once the Gemara had mentioned this sack in regards to Muchen and challenged it from a teaching that spoke about the Beis HaTzavar b'Shabbos, opening up a neck hole on Shabbos, the Gemara records a famous and important discussion in regards to tearing and unknotting on Shabbos itself. Three lines from the bottom of Chesam and Aleph. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Rav Yehuda recorded the name of Rav. HaPoseach Beis HaTzavar b'Shabbos Chayv. If one tears open, as we saw earlier from the Gemara, for the first time, a neck hole from a shirt on Shabbos, you're Chayv Chatas. To explain the Metzius, one needs to realize that shirts, once upon a time, were not made the way shirts are made today. Originally, shirts were not made size 14, 15, 16. They were made for larger people, for smaller people. However, it was understood that there was going to be a different neck hole, the size of it, depending on the individual. The way a tailor would make the shirt is he would sew the whole shirt and not open up the area where the head would go until the customer was ready to purchase it. At that time, the tailor would open up the hole based on the measurements of that particular individual. If someone does that on Shabbos, you're chayev achatas. Rashi explains, this is a big discussion in the Rishonim, that the chiv of chatas over here is the iser of make bepatish, that he's completing a shirt that wasn't entirely complete until its neck hole was made. Amalei Rava. Rava is before Rava, the Gemara asks a question. Maskefla Rav Kana. Rav Kana asks, is it really chayev achatas? Ma bein zeh lemgufas chavetz. What's the difference between this and someone who opens the top of a barrel? We also have to know how a barrel once upon a time was made. A barrel had been made out of wood. It would hold wine. Also, it was closed on the top by a wax type of material that was used to hold the barrel shut until one wanted to open to remove the wine. Asks the Gemara, what's the difference between opening up the Beis HaTzavar that's in Chayev Chatas, yet there are Gemaras that we're going to have later on Kuf. Memvavim and Aleph, that says that one is allowed to open up the barrel on Shabbos. Amalei Rava, Rava responded, Zeh chibur v'zeh nechibur. When it comes to the garment, it was entirely attached, so then you're making a new keli. When it comes to the chavis, the barrel, there the wax wasn't attached, and separating it is not going, or opening it, or slashing through it, is not going to constitute an isur.
Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, we pick up two lines from the top on Memches on the Beis, and I'm learning with the special young budding Talmidei Chacham, 13 and 14 year olds in Ramat Beit Shemesh and Beis Tefillah. And the Gemara continues, Rami le Reb Yirmiyah le Reb Zeira. Reb Yirmiyah asked the following Shaila to Reb Zeira. Now the Gemara is, once it began discussing, when it comes to Poseach Beis Hatzavar, that Poseach Beis Hatzavar is considered a chibur, versus we said Megufa Lechavis is not considered a chibur. So now we begin to discuss other halachos of chibur for Tumah V'Tahara. Now, who can remember where we have the concept of chibur for Tumah V'Tahara? Where do we have this idea from? Okay, you're thinking of an example. Agola is an example that will come up. The concept of chibur is what happens if you have something that has different parts. That may be what you're referring to, about the mukhni and so on. Right, when you have a wheel too that is attached to a wagon, is that considered part and parcel that if you touch the wheel, automatically the wagon also becomes tamei or not? So let's see the Gemara's example. The Gemara is going to start with an example that's very similar to what we've been discussing up until now. Tnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Where's this Mishnah? In the Uktsin, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav. Shalosh Shokufsin, what is that? Shalal Shokufsin is that the launders, we see from our daf that there's so many different things about the way they used to do laundry in those days versus the way they used to do today. Take a look at Rashi. Shalal Shokufsin, Darkom Lishol HaBigodim Zem Zektanim Magdolim Kidei Shalo Yavdu. They used to attach the begadim together. Sometimes, even when they attached, they also added, what they also did was they would add another hem to the larger beged to be able to attach one to the other. V'shalshele shamatechos, and also a string of keys. V'abeged shu'utofer b'klayim, and a beged that is attached through klayim. So of course we know that's an Isser. Says Rashi, beged shu'utofer b'klayim, v'ein shtei chatichos shabeged semer shu'utofer b'chut shal pishton. D'vadai sofali kareu l'hafrit zemizeh. In all these cases, eventually, all of them are going to be separated. Here, I'm pulling out my keys. So here are my keys from Nativ Aryeh, and here is my key from Grus, and this is my YU, right? And here's my car key, right? Now, I don't always carry all those keys together, especially if on Shabbos I'm in Nativ Aryeh, so I'm only allowed to carry, it could be that in some cases I'm only allowed to carry this key. I'm not allowed to carry my car key. So those things, shalshel shamatechos, are separated. So too, just like tofer b'klayim is going to be separated. So chibur l'tuma ad sheyaschil lahatir. It's considered attached until you ultimately want to take it apart. Alma. So what do we see from here? Shelo b'shas melacha nami chibur. Even if it's something that already it's no longer necessary. They put it for the malacha when they were doing what? Then we're doing the laundry. But you don't need it anymore. Nevertheless, it's still considered a chibur. So again, why are we discussing this on Shabbos Memches Amid Aleph? The only reason we're discussing this on Shabbos Memches Amid Aleph is because the Gemara happened to discuss the chibur of this is the Derech HaShas, this is the Amal Talmud. It's not organized. If you want an organized book, don't learn Gemara. But so the Gemara is going off. It's the discussions of the Beis Medrash. You want an organized book? You read the Rambam. You read the Shulchan Aruch. But the Gemara is not organized. The Gemara is discussing over here. The Gemara is discussing chibur. Okay. So what do we see? Shalom b'shas menachos anser chibur uriminu. I'll ask you the following question from Mishnah in Kalim. Mako she'asa yad lekardam. If you have a stick of eitzim that you use to attach. How do they translate it? As an axe? So you made it to as an axe, so then in such a case, chibur l'tumah, it's considered attached. B'shas melacha. Only b'shas melacha is attached. So what does it mean b'shas melacha? That you have the guy who's using, he's chopping wood. So then if tumah touches one part, it's considered attached to the other part. B'shas melacha in, shalom b'shas melacha lo. But if it's not at that time, so then it's not considered
a chibur. In other words, in those days, they would, like Eitan was alluding to, they would separate the axe from the from its wood. Let's say when the guy went home, he would change it. It also depended on how long he wanted the axe to be. So it was sometimes, not like today, most axes, I think, generally are made one way. But in those days, they would sometimes have longer pieces of wood and shorter, and he would interchange it. Also, it was easier for him to transport if he would take it in and out. So what do we see? B'shas melacha in shalom, b'shas melacha lo. So what's the halacha? Is there such a thing as chibur l'tuma when it's shalom b'shas melacha? So originally we seemed to say yes. Here we say no. Amalei hasam shalom b'shas melacha adam asu l'zarko ben lebeina eitzim. No, over there when it comes to the axe, what does he do when he's done? He throws it away. And how does he go home? He puts the little piece of metal in his pocket until a robber jumps out at him and then he pulls it out. But otherwise, he's got it sitting in his pocket, and then that's it. He doesn't need to schlep the whole piece of wood. So there, Adam also zarkel beinayt, and he just throws out the piece of wood. Hacha shelo b'shas halacha nami nichalei. Over here, he wants these things to attach. Be mitanfa hadam mechaverlu. He'll be able to send it back to the cleaners. That he wants it attached because it'll be easier for him to send it back to the cleaners. Period. Got that period down? Big period. Punctuate. Gemara continues. Besura masna la lahashmaitza mishmeder of Chizda. In Surah, they learned this teaching in the name of Chizda. But Pumbadisa masna mishmaitza the Rav Kahana. They said over in the name of Krana. V'ramri la mishmei de Rava. And some say in the name of Rava. Man Tana, and that is the teaching we're about to learn. Who's the one who taught? Ha milsa dam rabbanan. Kol ha mechuber lo harehu kamahu. Anything that's attached has the din of what it's attached to. So you have over here, we're sitting in a shul where you have a table which is made out of wood attached to a metal legs. So in such a case, automatically it's considered attached. Who taught this? It's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Disnan, as we learned in a Mishnah in Kalim. Now here, actually, I brought this Gemara so you could see here they elucidate through a picture, what's going on over here. Here, Rabosai, we have a Kira. You can look at a standard, anybody who's listening at home could open up any standard picture of a Kira, and you envision, as you know from the beginning of Parakira, that generally has two holes for a pot. And then a Kira used to have, there's an English word for it, accessories. In those days, you had deluxe Kiras, so our Gemara is discussing the deluxe, the Cadillacs of Kiras. And what did the Cadillacs of Kiras have? So they used to have these added things. They used to have a place for the Pach Shel Shemen, a place where you could put the oil. So that's what Beis HaPach is. It used to have on the side of the Kira, you know, this was, you know, compare this fancy Kira to some stoves today. Anyhow, this is a really, really fancy thing. And what would it have? It would have a little area where you'd be able to use it, you'd be able to put a Pach Shel Shemen. Beis HaPach. Ubeis hatavlin, and something for spices. Ubeis haner, and it also had a holder for candles, shebekira. So then, what's Rabosai the status of those areas? Is this considered attached? We're using a good word, I think, in English. It's an accessory. It's not part and parcel of the kira itself. So then, mitamin bimaga, the ein mitamin ba'avir. So the halacha is, if the kira becomes tameh, so then, its other part also becomes tameh. Only bimaga, but avir, it will not become tameh bavir. Let's take a look and see how Rashi explains metameh bimaga, metameh bavir. Says Rashi, seven lines before the Y. Metameh bimaga, imnafla tuma bavirin. So Rabosai, everybody should know the halachos of cheres. I'm sitting with the Talmidim who learned with Rav Bernstein, right? Zachor latov. Sakhalatov, that these guys know already Baruch Hashem the sugyas in Taharis. So Kli Cheres is Metame? Is Kli Cheres Metame Bavir or not? You guys tell me. Yes. It's Metame Bavir. That Kli Cheres Metame Bavir. So says Rashi, Nafla Tuma Baviran, if Tuma falls into the air space of the Kira over here, Olavir Akira Vinaga Tuma Lushule Akira, Nitmu Gam Elu. But ve'ein mitamim b'turis hakira. So if there is tuma in the airspace of the accessory, so the accessory becomes tameh and the kira becomes tameh. However, if the accessory doesn't become tameh, but tumas hakira klom, but tumas avir, shim nafal sheretz, we're on Rashi in the first wide line, on memches on the day, shim nafal sheretz ba'avir hakira, v'lo noga atumah b'dafna, hitmeya. It's tameh, the klicheres m'tameh ba'avir, the hain ta'or, and the kira is tameh, but the accessories are tar, she'en al-chibur la, it's not considered attached, it's only semi-attached. Elalinian maga, that it's considered attached vis-a-vis the halacha of maga. Divrei Meir. Rabbi Shimon mitar. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not considered a chibur at all. Asks the Gemara, Bishleimel Rabbi Shimon. I understand the shita Rabbi Shimon. Kasav elav kikira dami. Here's the chakira. Is accessory considered part of the actual thing? How do you look at it? The car radio. Is the car radio considered part of the car, or is it not considered part of the car? Oh, okay, so that's an interesting question. So here we go. So says the Gemara like this. Bishlam Rabbi Shimon Kasav elav kikira dami. Rabbi Shimon is straightforward. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's not considered part of the kira at all. It's not considered at all. Its accessory is a separate thing. Right? However, El Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir, I don't understand him. Ika kira damu. If it's like a kira, afila bavir nami, it should also be metame bavir nami litmu. And if the kira becomes tame, the accessory should become tame. Ilav kikira dama, and if we say it's not considered like the kira, afila b'maga nami lo litmu. Then even if he touches it, it shouldn't become tame. So the Gemara answers la'olam lav kikira dama. Even Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Shimon that an accessory is not considered part of the actual thing itself. But the Rabbanan made a gzeira. What's the gzeira? So let's take a look at Rashi that say the gzeira. The Rashi just spells out a little bit in the beginning. The gazerbu says Rashi seven lines from the bottom. That we consider it a gzeira midrabbanan, that it's considered a chibur. Only midrabbanan. Oh, so the question is, then why didn't the Rabbanan also make it entirely? If it's a zera midrabbanan that people are going to get confused, so then you should make it the whole way. So the Gemara says, Rabbanu de gazerbu, e gazerbu, afilu ba'avir nami litmu. So then you should say that the zera applies in all cases, because we don't want people to think that the kira, let's say the accessory becomes tameh, so then everybody agrees that the kira, oh, that might be a debatable. But if we want to make a heker, then you should do it the whole way. So says the Gemara, beautiful teretz. Kehecha delo osi lemisra falea truma vikadshin. Rabosai, being machmir is not always a good thing. And the Gemara gives us a great example of where being machmir is not a good thing. What would happen if truma would touch the accessory that had the kira, the accessory of a kira that had become tameh? The base, the truma had come in contact with the base hapach. This is, let's say, the base hapach. Oh, so now, what is it? There's an isur daraisa to destroy kachrim and truma. An isur daraisa to destroy kachrim and truma. So you can't just say, oh, I'm going to be machmer. Your chumra is going to become a kula. What's the rule we like to say in yeshiva? Every chumra could become a kula, and every kula could become a chumra. A great example of this is this case. If you're going to make the accessory tameh, then people are going to burn truma and kachim, and that would be problematic. Okay? What's that? Oh, so when it comes to maga, so there, in such a case, we're not afraid. Once we have the heker, that people know that this halacha doesn't apply by avir, so then they'll remember, oh, this is only a tumah midrabbanan. But if we never made a kula in it, then we wouldn't remember it. There are many examples of this. Rashi and Sukkah, Daf Gimel Amidbeis, if I'm not mistaken, has this. We have quite a few cases where the rabbanan were makel in order to show that it's only an isur derabbanan. All right, let's go for Bezer Hashem to the top of Mem Tesam and Aleph. Tana Rabbanan. Mispores shel prokim. If you have scissors that are attached and then put back together, you're able to take them apart. Vizemel shel rehitni, as well as a knife that also is taken together and put apart. Chibur l'tumah ve'ein chibur l'hazah. If it becomes tameh for tumah, in other words, if one side of the scissors Tar becomes Tameh. Here we go. Let's see. Here we have a classic. We don't really need a diagram. We could visualize this on our own. Two sides of a scissor. If one side of the scissor becomes Tameh, then the other scissor is Tameh. However, not Hazo. What does that mean? Very good. So what that means is, as the Talmidim are saying, that if you sprinkle, if it has Tumas Meis, if you sprinkle the Efer Par Aduma on one and you don't sprinkle on the other, then that's going to be, it's going to be a problem. So it's asked to Gemara, the same question as asked before. Yes, Yonah.
If you take it apart, you still have too much
Bus? If it's entirely taken apart and it's not put together?
No, one side's Tumas, and the other side's Tar.
What happens? They were taken apart, and then they contracted, and one contracted tumah. So I haven't looked into these halachos, but al regel achas, I would guess that if it's never been put back together, it won't become, even midrabbanan won't become tumah. The question would become, what happens if it's put back together, and then in such a case, I hear you're shy. We have to look in the mafarshim to see what the halacha would be. I bet that's discussed. I just don't remember off the top of my head. So Gemara says like this, Amar Rava, Dvar Torah, so we have to go back a line, I'm sorry. Manashach, says the Gemara. Ichi Buru, the Gemara is the same style Gemara that we had before. Just like the Gemara said, either the accessory is entirely Tameh or the accessory is not entirely Tameh. So too you over here. Ichi Buru, Afila Zanami, that once you sprinkle one side, it should be enough. Ilav Hebrew, Afila Tumanami lo. So if it's not, then it also shouldn't work. Amar Rava, so Rava answers, Dvar Torah b'shas melacha chibur bein l'toma bein l'hazah. If it's something that is be at the time that you're working with it, that it needs both together like a scissors in order for the scissors to work, so then you need both of them. So then b'shas melacha, it's considered a chibur bein l'hazah bein l'toma v'shelo b'shas melacha. And if you're not working, so then in such a case, ain't a chibur lo l'toma v'lo l'hazah. It's not considered a chibur, neither l'toma l'hazah. V'gazru rabbanan, but the rabbanan made a gzera al toma shelo b'shas melacha mishum toma she b'shas melacha. Because if people were going to say, oh, I only have to worry about one side of the scissor, then they're going to even be mekel b'shas melacha. And b'shas melacha, it's going to be tuma d'oraisa. So therefore, again, they made this middle din. They made this din where on the one hand, it was a chibur, but not for hazah. In other words, they gave it a chumrah, but they didn't advance the kula of hazah. So gazu rabbanan al tuma, shelo b'shas melacha, mishum tuma she b'shas melacha. Val hazah shebishas melacha and hazah bishas melacha. Rashi says that hazah is considered that it doesn't even work even if you do hazah bishas melacha. So let's say somebody's cutting with his scissors and someone tells him, great news! Your scissors has tameh meis, you should know next door they're sprinkling the Efer Parah Aduma. So then he's mamish b'shas melacha, and really all he has to do is sprinkle one side of the scissor and it'll go on both. But we're afraid he's going to bring in his scissors when it's shelo b'shas melacha. And if he's going to bring it in shelo b'shas melacha, then in such a case they'll make the mistake and think if you do hazah on one side it will be enough. V'alzah she b'shas melacha b'shum hazah shelo b'shas melacha. This Bezer Hashem concludes the daf of Mem Ches. What did you tell me? Which daf was it? What number was in Shas? The 110th daf in Shas. I think I made a mistake when I started. I think it said 109. Talmidim always correct me.
Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's halacha topic from daf Mem Ches is the topic of tearing on Shabbos. It is based on the position of Rashi on our daf, as discussed by the Be'er Halacha and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the Halacha Lemaisa applications of the Machlokis Rishonim about Korea that emerges from our daf, and Rav Moshe and the Chofetz Chaim's discussion about it as well. The Gemara in the bottom of Menuches Amud Aleph told us that Haposeach Beis Hatzavar, someone who tears open the neck hole of a garment, is going to be Chayiv. For what exactly is the individual going to be Chayiv for? There are actually at least two possibilities of what the individual will be Chayiv for. Rashi says a little bit of a chidush by us. Amem Chesam et Aleph, last line, Rashi says that the Isser is Makke Bepatish. However, if you take a look at the Rambam, in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud, he gives us a list of the Isser of Korea, and in the list of the Isser of tearing on Shabbos, the Rambam includes tearing open the tzavar, haposeach beis betzavar, as an iser of koreah. Some have suggested that the reason why Rashi does not learn like the Rambam is because the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, an ayin gimel, a Masechah Shabbos, that koreah is aser min haTorah only when it's koreah al menas litfar, tearing with the intention to sew. Some suggest that the only time there'll be an iser d'oraisa of tearing is if it's on the condition to sew. However, the Be'er Halacha in the end of Simen Shin Mem addressed that explanation entirely out of hand. He rejects it because he says almost everyone understands that koreah al menas litvar doesn't mean that in order to be chayv you need to tear with the intention to sew. Rather, the chiv of koreah al menas litvar is just to preclude koreah al menas lekalkel. We know, we won't get into detail about this now, but we know that tearing for food, to open up a bag and simply to be mekalkalit, would be permissible if there is a tzorech of Shabbos. However, koreah that's creating a tikkun, that would be problematic. It is for this reason that explaining the machlokis between Rashi and the Rambam, that Rashi holds that the only reason it would be chayva koreah is if it's almanas litvar mamish, is very difficult. Most assume, as does the Be'er Halacha in the end of Simen Shin Mem, that the chiyuv of koreah is any time the kriya is doing something positive in the object. If that's so, the Be'er Halacha is very much bothered in the shita of Rashi by us. Why did Rashi not say it was iser koreah, and why did Rashi go to Makeh B'Patish? The Be'er Halacha suggests the following interesting idea in terms of koreah. He says, the difference between whether the prohibition of tearing something when making an object, like poseach beis hatzavah, whether it's makeh b'patish or koreah, revolves around the fact that by definition koreah as an action is one that is mekalkel, it's destructive in nature. However, koreah al menas litvar transforms the destructive act into a constructive one. If the act is by definition destructive, like tearing a garment, yet when you're tearing it, you're furthering the tear so it'll be easier to sew, so the destructive act, because of the context, now becomes a positive one. In such a case, that's koreah that's chayiv. But what happens if the koreah by definition is not destructive, it's positive, like opening up a neck hole? In such a case, argues the Be'er Halacha, it can't be called koreah, because koreah is only called koreah, the Chavetz Chaim is mechadesh, if it's destructive. This is, he claims, is the position of Rashi. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Aleph of Orach Chaim has an awesome tshuva where he goes through the sugya of koreah. This is the first place that we have Rav Moshe discussing tearing on Shabbos, opening up cans on Shabbos, and so on. In Orach Chaim Aleph, Kuf Chuf Chav Beis, at the end of Anav Zayin, he quotes the Be'er Halacha's explanation, and he rejects the Chafetz Chaim, ve'eino nochon klal, v'hu beloy tam u'belo mekar b'gemara. Ramesh's argument is a fair one, and that is, at the end of the day, the Chafetz Chaim introduced a svara that has no sources, he claims, at all. Ramesha gives a different approach, and this propels us into the Halacha L'maisa. Ramesha suggests the reason why Poseach Beis HaTzavar is only Chayiv for Makeh B'Patish, according to Rashi, and does not qualify as Koreah, is because Ramesha claims in order to be Chayiv on Koreah, there has to be an obvious tikkun in the object, where the object, it's clear that it was torn, and nevertheless, there is something that is positive that has come out of it. When you have a shirt, and you see the shirt post facto, you would not know the difference between a shirt that was sewn with an open neck hole and a shirt that was torn open and then crafted in the appropriate manner. Ramesha says this is the machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi. Rashi is of the opinion the only time you could call something is koreah is when the effects of koreah are obvious in the object. If it's not obvious in the object, it will not qualify as an iser koreah. So the only reason you're chayiv over here for opening the neck hole is only because of makeh b'patish. Tangentially, I'd just like to add that the Minchas Chinuch points out, according to many Rishonim, once you're chayiv on one other malacha, you'll never be chayiv on makabe patish. That is why the Rambam won't count Poseach Beis HaTzavar both as Korea as well as Makabe Patish. The Rambam disagrees with the above, coming back to our topic, our above thesis, and the Rambam holds that in order to be Chayiv on Korea, the Tikkun does not need to be obvious in the sense that you don't need to know that this object was made through the process of Korea. In contrast, Ramesha points out, later on Kuf Hei, the Gemara will discuss Korea al Meso, someone who tears Kriya as an Avel, so then it is clear, without the Kriya, then the expression of loss will not take place. A shirt, whether it has a neck hole that was sewn into it originally, or it had to be torn, either way, the Tikkun doesn't require the act of Kriya. Ramesha applies this idea halacha l'maisa. In Simin Kuf Chavba Beis, he says, for this reason, tearing open sugar packets cannot be an Iser D'oraisa of Kriya. Even if a person is trying to access the food inside and something positive is happening when he opens up the packet in order to be able to exact the sugar, at the end of the day, there's nothing in the sugar that calls out the act of Korea. Nothing in the sugar that indicates that Korea was necessary to create the sugar. Sometimes sugar doesn't come in sugar packets. If all the sugar in the world grew in sugar packets, maybe that would be a different story. But that's definitely not how sugar grows. That's not even how sugar is manufactured many instances today. Even Splenda appears in large bags, and you don't need to get it specifically in packets. If that's so, then the act of tearing the sugar packet, since it's not making a tikkun in the actual object, but rather the tikkun is entirely contextual, so then, based on the fact that you need to get to this sugar, you needed to tear it, that cannot be an iser korea min haTorah, and therefore Ramesha concludes, La halacha avoloi lemaisa, that the only time korea is asur is when the korea is creating something positive inherent in the object itself. Finally, there's another reason why korea might very well be permissible when it comes to tearing a sugar packet. In the Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa, Rav Shlomo Zalman went with the approach that the packet is considered batel to the food, and we have Simin Shinyu Dalit Sifches, that if one has a kli that is wrapped around tamarim and grogros, in such a case one is allowed to open it, as described by the Gemara on Kuf Mem Vav, and the Mishnah Brura there explains that the outer shell is considered batel to the food. So Shlomo Zalman suggests that the same would apply possibly to a sugar packet as well. This whole discussion, Ramesha Feinstein's whole approach, starts with the position of our Rashi on Memches Amid Aleph, where from Rashi it seems that the only time, Ramesha claims, you're going to be chayiv on Korea as Korea al Manas L'Sakein is where that Korea is necessary in creating the tikkun in the object itself. The Korea creates the tikkun. Without Korea, the Avel would not feel the expression of Avelus through Kriya. Without the Kriya, someone whose anger would not be able to express his anger by tearing the object. But getting to sugar doesn't necessarily require tearing. Or, as Rav Shlomo Zalman had suggested in the Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa, that the packet becomes batel to the sugar. This Bezer Hashem concludes our sugya from Daf Memches.